Welcome back to the Catholic Money Show. I am so excited for you to join me today in this conversation. I know some of you probably saw the title of this episode and thought, "Rutrow, this is definitely one I need to tune into." And we are going to be talking all about wills, creating a will, who needs a will, why you need a will. And I have special guests, Dan and Tom Timmons of My Catholic Will, and they're here to answer all of these tough topics and to tackle some of the questions I'm going to throw at them. Welcome to the Catholic Money Show, Dan and Tim.
Tom, thank you.
I'm so sorry, Tom. Yeah, thank you for being here and for your generosity and carving out some time to answer questions on this topic that can seem sometimes very elusive and kind of out there and like something I should do, but never knowing how to get accomplished. Would you both be able to just share how My Catholic Will got started and a little bit of your own story of how this has gotten off the ground?
Sure. Yeah. So after graduating from Franciscan University of Steubenville, I started a career in fundraising for different charitable organizations within the Catholic Church. And then through that, realized that there was, you know, almost something missing, that we weren't really focused too heavily on trying to acquire, you know, good planned gifts through estates, especially from, you know, more of the general population. And so I was inspired to start My Catholic Will. And in 2021 or we kind of put our heads together and started laying the groundwork for My Catholic Will as a means for, first and foremost, to provide individuals a way to protect those they love most, honor their faith. But then in also doing so, to really encourage them to consider giving back charitably to organizations they love as they go through that process. And so following a lot of, you know, legal checks and, you know, development work, we launched our service in January of this year, 2024.
It's 2023, but that's okay. Yeah. So as far as Tom just got back from a retreat in Ireland, so he may be suffering a little bit of jet lag.
Just skipped a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like 2024, but it's still 2023. Yeah. So I'm also a graduate of Franciscan University, and then I received my master's degree from the John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family in Washington, D.C., and that led to directing the marriage and family life offices for three different dioceses in Ohio, Youngstown, Columbus, and then the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. It was when my wife and I were in Cincinnati. I think we had five kids. We were expecting number six. And I woke up one day and I thought, we don't have a will. Oh my goodness, we need to get a will. So I did what any good Catholic would do, and that's look at the back of your bulletin for an attorney. And so we found a Catholic attorney, and I called him up and I made an appointment to go get our will done. And he had a price to do a simple will, what we needed. And I never kept that appointment. And I just never got around to it. And so it became evident that my situation is not unlike that of many Catholics around the country who, you know, we know it's something that we need to do, but it's just the busyness of life, raising five, six kids now, really, you know, needing to do that. So instead of going to a lawyer and writing a will in a few hours, we spent 2 years designing an online platform for Catholics to do their will.
To make it a little bit more accessible, probably a little easier to go about doing it, which we'll get to in a little bit here. Thank you for sharing more of your story of how you got started. For those listening who are thinking, okay, I've heard about a will. What is it really? You know, and what are some of these terms that we hear thrown around, you know, in a medical TV show? You hear things like power of attorney and living will and final will. And in movies, you hear terms. And so could you just define some of those things?
Yeah. So what our platform right now we offer is a legal we offer a legal will for people to sort of decide where their assets will be distributed upon their death, sort of final wishes and funeral plans and that sort of thing. You'll hear the other terms, living will, which is not actually a Catholic term, because a lot of the living wills aren't really living wills. They're like removing. You have to be careful with a lot of those because a lot of hospitals will push what's called a living will, and it would be actually removing ordinary care from someone at the end of their life. So as Catholics, you know, we believe that ordinary care is necessary. It's the extraordinary means that we don't need to use to prolong life. But food and water is always ordinary, regardless of how it's administered. So unfortunately, a lot of the living wills that you receive, especially from a hospital, will not honor Catholic wishes. We are talking right now with some different individuals and looking to put that piece into our platform in the future. Not a living will, but an advanced healthcare directive and healthcare power of attorney.
That's really important just to do a little education around that. I find that so many of these life issues, even, you know, organ donation, a lot of people, you're at the DMV, hey, would you like to save lives if something happens? And you just automatically are like, well, yeah, obviously. But then when we dive into our faith, it might be more of a question mark than we realized. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. So this is essentially, you know, something that at the end of somebody's life would define and clarify what's going to happen with the stuff of this world that they're leaving behind and what kind of legacy they want to have echoed from those things. And that's kind of what the legal will would be, correct?
Correct.
And so how many people, do you know the stats on how many people actually have a will? That have possessions and things versus people who don't have one at all.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of surprising. I know it was for us the first time we kind of heard these statistics where we're seeing somewhere in the range of 60 to 70% of all adults do not have a will today. And I believe, I forget the stat, Dan, you know, those over the age of 65, I think it's
a quarter of those over age 65 don't right. have a will.
Right. So obviously you might think, oh, well, if you're 18 years old and you don't have a will, that's not all that terribly surprising. But for older adults, it's quite not only surprising, but also concerning that, you know, the necessary important steps to, you know, not only protect their future in terms of how to divide their assets to loved ones, but just, you know, all those final wishes after they're gone are not being recorded down, whether that's even, you know, simply providing instructions for funeral mass or other, you know, sort of last wishes. And then it's left up to either the state or the descendants, the family, on how best to determine how to divide that estate. And it's not always, you know, in line with what that individual would want. So that's why, you know, what we're seeing is how critical and crucial it is for people to take those steps, to not be afraid of completing the task. You know, what we're finding is the number one reason, as Dan sort of indicated earlier, for not completing a will is simply just not getting around to it, right? So we all have very busy lives. But again, this is one thing that our platform seeks to just eliminate that challenge of that this needs to be a difficult process, that this needs to always involve an attorney, that this needs to take a long time to produce. And we've tried to really simplify that and streamline it as much as possible to allow individuals with a basic, you know, sort of estate plan to complete the process in as little as even 15 minutes on our platform.
That's awesome. Yeah. Anytime you can eliminate that friction, it's just going to help it be more accessible and increase someone's ability to actually get it done and to get in there. But it's so true. It feels like one of these tasks. We all know, we all have a charcuterie board of tasks that we feel like this about, that they're going to take forever. It's going to be a slog. I'm going to hate it. And we might dwell about it more than if we just sat down and gotten it done. And the amount of time we took mulling over it and avoiding it took longer than if we just sat down and focused. And so I think that that's definitely true here with a will. Something that you had mentioned was just, you know, a quarter of older adults don't have this. And a question that we've gotten asked about even in WalletWin is a lot of people seeing this, the result of that is a very messy transition of wealth to their parents' generation when there was no clear direction, and the breakdown of families that inevitably kind of comes with that, and the fighting and the arguments. Have you seen that? And have you seen how a will could kind of maybe would have righted that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, even from, you know, personal experience, different loved ones, you know, passing away without a will, or even in parish community. You know, I remember a story here at the parish I attended where there was a woman who basically promised the church her home to bequest that onto the parish. And she had no family, at least as far as everybody knew. And then she had passed away, and family from, you know, distant parts of the world came into the picture, and the church was no longer a recipient of her home and able to use that money, you know, for their own benefit. So they couldn't really do much to contest anything because nothing was recorded or written down. And so obviously it was sad because this is a woman that, you know, was daily mass communicant and really just, you know, this was the number one priority in her life. And just, you know, again, one of those things where, you know, we need to look at the idea of, I think, a will and sort of take away any sort of connotation of, you know, of fright that, hey, you know, if I'm putting this on paper, this is sealing my fate. You know, this means I'm that, you know, I'm leaving this world. But really it's about recording what you love most, right? And making sure that your family and those that you love most are protected. And that's really what the statement of a will provides. And it's something that doesn't need to be final in the sense of, you know, when it's completed, it should be updated, right? So if life circumstances change and you have more children or you move from one state to another, this is something that should be revisited time and time again and updated, you know, as you would update other important documents.
Right. And I know you just got a new puppy there. So you might be thinking like, which of my children would get my puppy? And you can always go back and change that later, right? So I think that's, like Tom said at the end there, that's what I was about to say. Was a lot, I think one of the reasons that people actually don't do the will is because of this idea that this is my absolute final last will and testament, and everything needs to be exactly right. All the T's crossed, the I's dotted. I need to know where everything goes. And that's not the case. So what you're going to find is you're the first will you do may be fairly simple. And that's what our platform provides, an ability to get that very first will done if you don't have one. And then as you, you know, as you grow, as you start your eighth business, when you have, you know, vacation homes in multiple states, you know, our platform probably doesn't work for you anymore. So it's time to update that by visiting a great Catholic attorney. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that brings another topic of conversation. You know, sometimes people, a will is enough. And then for some, maybe something like a trust that the will goes alongside, et cetera. But that would be for that secondary scenario, more of that ongoing, you know, management of an estate. when I think of a will, you know, I think of this idea of good stewardship, and we're always talking about the good steward and how we can be managers of the resources entrusted to us. Because the Lord, he gives to us, but he expects a return. He expects us to give back with increase. It doesn't matter if it's our money or our time. He wants us to give him back the things that he's given us, but with more. And that's quite a tall order. It's a real challenge. But I see that a will could really fall right in alignment with this. And how have you seen the idea of, you know, a will kind of stepping right alongside somebody's desire to be a good steward of all the resources given to them?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the important things that we built into our platform was specifically to partner with charitable organizations, encouraging individuals to give back, consider a gift of charity in their estate plans. I know the first time that I did a will, my wife and I were traveling. We had two young kids, and we just, you know, wanted to make sure that they would be taken care of. But one thing we didn't think of was giving back to God. I mean, this is something we think about, whether we're supposed to think about, you know, on a weekly basis when we attend Mass and give in the collection or give to other charitable organizations we support. And what I try to convey to individuals is for most people, a will actually allows them to potentially give the most generous charitable gift of, you know, their entire life, because like Dan and I and yourself, many of our assets are tied up in our living, right? Providing for our family, saving for college and things of that nature. But obviously, once we've passed from this life into the next, that all sort of becomes, you know, gives us the potential to truly be generous, more generous than we probably ever could imagine. And so, and the great thing is it doesn't hurt us today, right? So it doesn't, affect our bank account or our savings account. I know working in fundraising, a lot of times, you know, we ask individuals to make an extra sacrificial gift, especially when it comes to important capital campaigns that, that you know, we'd like them to support. But this is something that again, could potentially even exceed that sacrificial gift. And really, it's a testament of our love for the Lord, right? Because at the end of the day, my wife always reminds me that, you know, any money, any material, you know, wealth that we have in this world, it's really all the Lord's, right? It's not our own. And so we need to be good stewards, and obviously, you know, always remember to put the Lord first in all of our giving. And I think doing so in a will is another great way to do that.
Right. And I know one of our organizations that we're partnered with received their largest gift ever from a will. It was over $7 million. And it was from an individual that gave them $50 on two separate occasions.
What? So it's
someone that cared about the organization at least a little bit, but cared enough to add this organization into the will. And when the entire estate and property were divided, it ended up being a gift of over $7 million. So that's really, giving in a will can be really significant, as Tom said, because a lot of our assets are tied up in living, and that can be really one of those meaningful gifts of our whole life can be after our death, which is biblical also, you know, the grain of wheat that dies and bears much fruit.
Ooh, I love that. I like that as an analogy here. So, you know, I can tell people listening to this are probably thinking, okay, I'm pretty convinced here. You know, I know that I need to do this. If they are going to go through the process of creating a will, what are some things that they need to pay attention to or think about? You know, it's not just coming to the will and saying, a million is going here, 10,000 is going here. It's not just a divvy up of finances strictly. What are some other components that they need to pay attention to and consider in creating a will?
Right. So our will provides obviously your children, your spouse. If you want have other people that you want to include in the will, that's really important to think that through. If you have different items that you want to give, like your wedding ring, I want that to go to this child, and I want the puppy to go to this other child, and the Rolls Royce to the third child or whatever, you know, it's to think those things through also. Also, we have a section for funeral plans and burial plans. So we do recommend burial over cremation because that's what the church recommends. Mm-hmm. And we explain that in the form as you go through that. We also have a section where you can request masses for your own soul after you pass, that's paid out of your estate. So things like that, if you have those things planned, great. If you don't, you can skip over that section in the will. So it's not, we don't strictly require it. And then the one thing that everyone needs to name is an executor or a personal representative, which is because after you're gone, you can't obviously administer your own will. So you need to appoint somebody to do that for you. A lot of times it's the spouse, but if you're not married or you don't want to burden your spouse with that task, you can name others and alternates. And then the final thing is if you have children under 18, mm-hmm. you are going to want to make sure that they are taken care of, especially if both husband and wife pass away. So it's really, and that, I feel like that's really the most difficult decision, at least for my wife and I.
Yep.
Planning our own will is like who, and almost the most crucial decision. Like I can decide where the money goes, but where are the children going to go, to which relative or which friend? So that's something right. to certainly pray about and think about before jumping in to do the will.
Yeah. And on that point too, that's something that obviously, like we said earlier, that you can adjust and change over time. Our youngest sister, I know, went through our platform, and then she got stuck. We noticed that she didn't complete the process. And so this is early on when we released the product, and I was like, was there a problem or did something happen along the way? And she said, well, I got to the part on where to, name a guardian for our child. And I really didn't know what to do there. Mm-hmm. And then so we, informed her like, hey, this isn't something that needs to be your final, wish in the sense of, you're never going to adjust it or never going to update it. But the concern is if you don't, name a guardian for your children, is that tasks then, typically will fall to the state to decide, right? So, and when you frame it that way, many times it's much, much easier to at least put somebody down, right? That you trust, that you know, that you believe would, care for your children as you would.
Right. I think that is the point that when you don't decide, you actually are making a decision. Yep. And your decision is the state gets to decide these things, which I think is a decision that none of us want to do. We don't want to give the state that much power.
Absolutely not. I know that, that's been a hard decision for us as well. Every time we sit down and kind of re-update things, it's just reevaluating that piece. If you maybe have kids when your own parents are still younger, well, maybe the natural thing would be, okay, grandparents would love them the same way and they still have some vitality in life. But then as they age and the kid, you start having more kids, now you're all of a sudden this would drain them or they might not be the right person anymore. And then looking to maybe siblings, but then so many of us have siblings who've maybe left the church. Mm-hmm. So there's just so many weighty things right. to balance.
And now we're at the age where our oldest is about to turn 18. So it's like, oh, wow, we could actually name right. our oldest child as the guardian. Yes.
Yeah. So it is really just a constant moving mark that you just have to kind of readjust, reevaluate, just looking at this next chapter, what would work, mm-hmm. to serve the needs of the family. And so I know people get really hung up on that one. And so I love that you just said that this is a living, breathing document. This is not an in stone. This is not something that gets carved down and in blood. You can go ahead and revise it as things happen. Right. Any other clarifications that you could make for people on, you know, what is a will versus what's not in a will? Maybe some misconceptions people have.
Yeah, at least our platform, the will itself, it takes effect upon someone's passing. So it's basically sort of like, as we're alive, we have free will, we can make our own decisions. So it's that same concept, but after one passes. So again, it's not the medical directives at this point, things that are happening while the individual is still living. But these are my wishes while I'm still capable, while I'm still have the mental capacity to make these wishes that actually take effect after. So that's really the whole concept of a will.
And do you notice that people get stuck on the differences between a will and maybe a trust, or all the different terminologies? Do they confuse them and kind of jumble them all together?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there is definitely some confusion there. There's less confusion in the state of California, because it's highly recommended that individuals create a trust. And the reason for that is it doesn't have to go through the a required probate process, which I believe we've heard takes as long as 2 years if an individual in California only had a will and did not have a trust. So there are some benefits to having a trust. There are some, you know, obviously legal differences. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of getting the process started, what we really seek to do is sort of that first step in this, arena that let's look at creating a will document. From there, obviously, individuals can take additional steps to create a trust or to create advanced healthcare directives, as Dan said earlier. And ultimately, we want to encourage individuals to work with great Catholic attorneys. We're just in the early stages of creating, working with a great law firm to create a nationwide network of attorneys. And we really want to support good Catholic attorneys to, provide those next steps for individuals if they would like more than just a will. Mm-hmm. But we do realize it's sort of like the least, the easiest, simplest form to complete, and something that's, absolutely necessary. I would think, we work with a few different colleges in terms of partnerships. I try to convey to them, just like your college graduates are going out and they're updating their resumes and they're opening bank accounts and they're purchasing cars for the first time, this is also something that they should do, right? As when you turn 18, it's just another thing that you should take care of and just include as part of what it means to be a responsible adult today. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think you nailed it when you just said this is kind of that foundational piece. And then if there are extra things, you can always add to it. But that this is kind of that essential first step. And then if those other things make sense, then you go ahead and set up the appointment with the lawyer. And thank you for being willing to do the legwork on, gathering and trying to get together some level of a network of good Catholic attorneys. We have for years looked for that exact resource because we work with so many people in so many different states and the laws are different, etc. So I just really appreciate that. How can people go about getting a will started?
Yeah, so on our platform, you would simply visit mycatholicwill.com. And I know we have a special promo code with WalletWin. So you type in the promo code WalletWin to save 20% on your will. It's normally $79.95 for an individual to do their will, but you save 20% with the code WalletWin at mycatholicwill.com. And we have a guarantee. We promise it'll be less painful than the dentist or your money back. Actually, that's not our guarantee, but it'll still be less painful.
That's not than the hard dentist. To beat. The dentist is terrifying.
My wife just came back from the dentist this morning, so I think she would actually agree with that statement.
Oh man, those are the things of my childhood nightmares: the giant needle and. Okay, so people can go over to mycatholicwill.com and I'll link that in the show notes with code WalletWin. We'll get them 20% off getting started. And truly, this is one of those things that once you get it done, it's almost like you can't calculate the level of peace that will come with it. And so anybody who's on the fence sitting and thinking, gosh, should I, shouldn't I? This is one of those things where, you know, you could go spend, 60, 70 bucks at Costco and it would be blown and you might not even know what you spent it on. This would be money that will instantly bring you peace. It's just one of those tangible items that will just help you to rest more at ease.
We also provide unlimited edits to the will. So I know we've talked a lot about updating the will. So you pay once and you have an account and you can log back in at any time and make updates and just print out your new will, make the new one legal by signing it in front of witnesses. And then that takes care of that.
Right. Yeah. And one added benefit as you go through, if you are married, towards the end of the process, we don't advise or provide what would be called a joint will, like a will, a will is a very individual thing, right? So we all, live this life that God has given us and then at our point of time, pass on to the next. But we do offer, what we call a mirror will, right? So if both you and your spouse have identical wishes, both for children or assets, you can simply, mirror your will. And then after checkout, you will be not only provided with your own document, but a document for your spouse. So everything can be made legal for both of you simply by clicking, yes, I would like a mirror will.
And that's not an additional fee. That's kind of just
right. That's a smaller additional fee. Okay. But it doesn't require your spouse to go through the whole process. Not that it takes long at all, but we want to simplify it as much as possible. Over.
I love when I do that, when I'm on a website and it gives me the, same as the billing address. Yes. And I don't have to retype. So anything that's a time save is a gift and a blessing. So if anybody has questions and they want to follow up with you guys specifically, how might they best do that?
Sure. Yeah. If you go to mycatholicwill.com, there is a contact page there. You can reach out to our support team. We also are pretty active on LinkedIn. So if you click the About Us on our website, feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn. We'd be happy to communicate with you that way and answer any questions you might have.
Very good. Well, head on over to the link in the show notes, mycatholicwill.com, and start your will today. Use promo code WalletWin and get 20% off. Thank you so much, Dan and Tom, for joining us on the Catholic Money Show. Until next time, everybody, bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.